Welcome to First Baptist Church. We are so glad that you are here today. Would you please stand with us as we praise the Lord?
3, 4.
From glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. And I heard the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried to Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about the mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there that song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. In Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. To victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of
calls me home, or whatever. I don't remember the words now. They're behind me. We are in a unique congregation here this morning because we have people who are here for the very first time at First Baptist Church, and I want you to make sure they feel very, very, very welcome and appreciated. In addition, we have some visitors here who I knew from about 40 years ago. See if you can figure out who they are. But shake hands, greet people, let them know you're glad they're in the house of the Lord today. Thank you so much for being at First Baptist Church on this Sunday morning. All right.
Okay, yeah, I saw her and I thought.
All right. Go ahead and find a seat. All right, did anybody find someone who's visiting today? Let me see your hands. You found someone who's visiting today? Good. Did anybody find the people I knew from 40 years ago? Anybody find? Nobody found them? I'm not going to embarrass them and point them out, but they're right over there, so. Thank you so much for being at First Baptist Church. In the seat back in front of you, all of you first-time guests, in the seat back in front of you is a long card called a connection card. Please do us a favor. Please take a moment, pull that card out, fill it out. If the sermon gets boring, there'll be plenty of time to fill out the card during that. And then on the back is a place for prayer requests. If you have questions, if we can help you know the Lord, if you're interested in joining the church, if you want to be baptized, you can indicate all of those things and many, many more things on the back of that card. So what do you do when you fill out the connection card, front and back? You can fill it, put it in the offering box in the back. We will not pass an offering plate, but we put our offerings from the members. Tithes and offerings go in that offering box. If you're a first-time guest, just put your connection card there, and we'll have a record of your visit. We'll be so, so very thankful for that. So thanks so much for being here today. I've got a couple of things I would like to do right now. It's a busy, busy morning. This is for a potluck sign-up, February the 9th. We have some of the greatest food you can imagine here. So if you would like to sign up and bring something, go ahead and do that. And just pass it back. Keep it going as you sign it up and pass it back. We would appreciate it. Now, simultaneously, while those are going on, we have some people who have recently indicated a desire to unite in membership with the First Baptist Church of Coronado. And it's our pleasure to be able to extend that membership to them. In addition, we have some people who followed the Lord in believers' baptism. So I'm going to ask, first of all, as I call your name, if you would please come up here. Valerie Mendez, would you come forward, please? And Valerie's coming for membership. Adam and Joy Slankard, would you come up here, please? And David and Heidi. No, you got to stay here just for a minute. If I got to be up here, you got to be up here. You know what I mean? Yeah.
We can do that.
David and Heidi, are you here today? Come on down to the front then. And Daniel and Misty Rice, come on down. Here you go. Misty and Daniel, come on this side. We'll keep it kind of balanced out a little bit here. There we go. And Allie and Alec, Allie Campbell and Alec. Is Allie here yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, we know that she's going to be, so we will. Here you go, sir. Adam and Joy. All right, good deal. In addition, we have Sam and Karen Contreras. Come on up here. All right, here's this. Yeah. Chaplain. All right. And then for baptism, we had Mr. Everett Edwards follow his Lord and Believer's baptism last week, for which we're excited. So would you take this and stand right in front of us right here, buddy. And then Avery K. Cisco. Avery, where are you, babe? You come right over here and stand as well. And we also had Allie for baptism, so we've got these certificates to give out when she gets here. But if you're glad for the decision these folks have made to follow the Lord in baptism or to become members at First Baptist Church, would you encourage them right now? Let them know that. All right. God bless you guys. We're thrilled to have you here. Thank you so much. And I want you to know, church here is a big family, and you guys are part of this family. Some of you are from the area, some of you are military, and you're here for a little while, but as long as you're here, whatever we can do to be a blessing to you, please let us know. We're available. So give them a hand once again as they take the seat. God bless you guys. That's exciting. All right, let's stand again as we worship the Lord in song.
We believe. in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. The lost be found, and the dead be raised, in the here and now. Let God live faith, let the church live out. Our God will say, we believe that the gates of hell will not be there. For the power of God has stormed up there. Now we know our love will never fail. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again.
Mystery. Holy,
So much. Praise team.
That it?
Okay. All right. We have an opportunity here for a lesson for our boys and girls from First Baptist Church. So I'll invite you to the stage, if you would, to the platform before we dismiss you to your class. We will have windsurfer class today, which is our newest Sunday school class, which is 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. So once we meet up here, then the kiddos will be going to classes, and there'll be some seats available. If you're looking in the back, there'll be some seats available up here. All right, boys and girls, how many of you are here this morning? Let me see your hands. Okay, good. I'm going to need your help. I'm going to be preaching from the Gospel of Mark, which is the second gospel in the New Testament. There's Matthew, then Mark, then Luke, then John. And I'm going to be preaching from Mark chapter 2 for your moms and dads and all the adults that are out here. But I'm going to have some, I need some help to show you, illustrate something that I'm going to be talking about. So I need a volunteer who will play the part of a person who is not able to walk. Would you like to be that person? Okay, here's what we're going to do. What's your name?
Riley.
Riley, that's what it says right there. How convenient. All right, good. All right, so Riley's going to be our person that's in Mark chapter 2. And so I'm going to ask you guys to move back here a little bit, move away from the center, go one way or the other. You don't have to go back there, but that's okay. All right, back, yeah, okay, come over here, right over here. And Riley, you come right in the middle, okay? Riley's going to be our person. And you know what? In Bible days, just like today, there are people who are afflicted with various physical ailments. And so we are so thankful that today we try to go out of our way to make people all feel welcome and make all things accessible. We're so thankful for that. But back in those days, it didn't happen very much. And so this person who was not able to walk was kind of dependent on other people. So one day, they heard that someone named Jesus was in town. And that was so important because they'd heard that Jesus was performing a lot of miracles. And so they thought, you know what? We need to get our friend who can't walk to Jesus. Maybe Jesus will make a difference. And so they thought and they thought and they thought, how can we do that? And they thought, you know what we'll do? We'll go down to the Army Navy surplus store and we'll get a stretcher. And so I called Army surplus stores in San Diego and El Cajon and all over the area, and I found out that old Army Navy stretchers are like $79 or $129 or $200 and something, one of them. And so I thought, I got this blanket at home. I don't know how much it costs, but it's already paid for. So what we're going to do is we're going to pretend like this is a stretcher. So everybody move away just a minute. Let me lay this on the stage. All right? You move that way. You're not supposed to be able to walk, huh? Well, that's okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you to do something kind of weird. I'm going to ask you to just lay down on that. That's a stretcher, okay? Now our person who's unable to walk needs someone to help. So I need somebody to help. Would you help? All right, so I want you to take the stretcher, and Jesus is back there somewhere, so I'm going to ask you to take the stretcher and take her back there. Okay, that's a little tough, isn't it? That's a little weird. How about we have someone else help? You want to help on this side? Okay. Oh, that's better. Okay. Oh, thump. All right. Maybe, I'll tell you what, let's do this. You take one corner, and someone else take this corner. You want to take this corner? Okay. And you want to take this corner right here? Here, give her this corner. How's that work? Oh, man, that's better. Wait a minute. I got another idea. Actually, Miss Pat had an idea. How about everybody who can get on the sides and then on both ends? Let's see how that works. Go ahead. Yeah. All right. And take her back there, all the way to the back. I'm not sure how to end this. Okay. All right. So she got to Jesus, and Jesus healed her. So, all right, you can stop. I don't want you leaving the building. All right, let her down. She's able to walk now because Jesus healed her. Very good. Come on back up here, boys and girls. I want to tell you something. Come on back up. Let's give them a hand. They did a great job, huh? Yeah. Okay, what happens is when someone needs to know Jesus and needs to meet Jesus, thank you, sir, God always uses someone else to help them. And so maybe the first person who helped out was like a missionary who said there are people in Lebanon who don't know Christ, and there are people in Russia who don't know Christ, and there are people in India. Listen up, boys and girls. There are people in India who don't know Christ, and there are people in Mexico who don't know Christ, and there are people in our own country who don't know the Lord. And so it's really important that someone become a missionary to those people. But by themselves, it's really hard. But when you have a pastor come alongside, it gets a little easier. And when you have a couple of other people helping out, it becomes even easier. And when you have a whole bunch of people helping out, it becomes simple to take people, to bring people to Christ. And so we're going to be talking today about we need stretcher bearers. You see, maybe two people can do it, but there's a lot of struggling going on there. And so we need people in the ministry at First Baptist Church involved in the ministry, in our Sunday school classes. We have a continual, because of military, attrition of workers. People get transferred out to other duty stations and go on deployments. We understand that. So we need to replenish that. We need help in our VIP ministry. It's a very important one. And that's because they welcome people and greet people as they come in. And we want people to step up to be available there. We need people who give. We need people who will every day read the Word of God. Every day will pray. Every member of minister is our goal at First Baptist Church. So the more that are involved, the more that gets done, the easier it is for everybody. So boys and girls, thank you for helping to illustrate that today. Let's pray, okay? Our Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that you give to us so abundantly every single day. I pray your blessings on these children. Help them to understand how important it is, even as young people, to be telling other people about Jesus and how he loves them and how he died on the cross and rose again for them. Father, I pray that you would call some of them to be missionaries and some of them to be pastors and some of them to be youth leaders and some of them to be Christian school teachers, and maybe in the public system or maybe in private system, whatever. Father, we pray that they would be willing to give themselves to you because you gave yourself for them, and we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And all the kids said, amen. Amen. All right, go ahead and go to your classes. And windsurfers, would you get the pulpit for me?
Yeah.
Windsurfers, our new 5th, 6th, 7th grade class, go ahead to your class as well, and thank you all for helping out with the sermon today. And moms and dads, go to Mark chapter 2, please. Mark's gospel. Thank you, Fritz. Chapter 2 for the message from the Word of God today. What crazy days in which we live. What a mess this country's in. What a mess this world is in. In some parts of the world, Christians are dying simply because they are Christian and they won't renounce their faith. In our own country, it seems like we're going more and more independent of God, or at least thinking we're independent of God. And so in these times, more than ever, we need each other. We're not called to be spiritual hermits living somewhere on an isolated ranch in Montana, nor are we called to be one-man band. Oh, sorry about the Montana reference. way to run off visitors, you know what I mean? So sorry about that. Neither are we called to be one-man bands. You know, we could have a, have you ever seen a one-man band? Anybody ever seen a one-man band? We've seen those at Balboa Park, for example, in different places. But, you know, instead of a praise team, we could have a one-man band, and he could, you know, play a cymbal with one foot and a drum with one foot and a guitar and have a harmonica fixed to his neck somehow and do something with his head where it makes a beat. We could do that. But you know what? We need each other, and getting involved and having ministry is much, much preferable. There's more than one reason why we're compared to a human body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A human body is made of many, many different parts. All of those parts have a different purpose and serve a different function. And when a human body is healthy, it cooperates together in such a way that that life is able to be lived conveniently. When one or more members of our body are not cooperating right and having problems, causing problems, then they cause problem for the whole body. By the way, as members of the body of Christ and helping each other, no one stands alone. Offering last week, we were able to help Nadia with $3,800, which made a huge difference in her life. Thank you for your generosity. That was such an incredible blessing to her. And she had major surgery, had several organs taken out, more than she thought. And then they did something called a warm chemo wash, which is that doctor, evidently, it's named after him, and he's the one who performs it. So she was looking so good yesterday. So pray for her and her continued healing. But thank you so much for helping with that. So we help each other. That's what the body does, helps each other and loves each other. So let's look at some who, though they did not constitute a church, because I'm going to make the application to the church today. Though they were not a church, they did come together for a common cause. In Mark chapter 2, as you read together, verse 1, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, let me stop there. Capernaum was a significant town on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was a place that Jesus made as kind of his headquarters of his public ministry for a three-year period. He performed many miracles in Capernaum. So when he returned to Capernaum after a little trip, several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon, in the King James Version, it says straightway, which means immediately, soon as they heard about it, the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. You know, when I read this and I was studying for this, for the very first time in my life, it hit me. To the irony of the fact that when Jesus was born, there was no room for him. But now when Jesus was in the house, there was no room for anybody else because everybody, it was full. And so I just thought that was kind of a cool thing. But the house was absolutely packed. There was no room in the house where he was. And while he was preaching God's word, and by the way, we ought to always be preaching God's word. I know during work time, it's not appropriate necessarily for you to preach the gospel instead of doing your job, but we ought to always be ready at the prompting of the Holy Spirit to plant the gospel seed. Always be ready to do that. We were at Brigantine this week for lunch, and a couple of folks came over and sat to one side. One of them had an army uniform, so we had to immediately give them a rough time about having an army uniform. My wife did that very well. And so we began talking to him, and I gave him one of my get-out-of-hell-free cards. And the process of talking to him, giving the gospel out is our job. And it's always our job. If you're a Christian, that is your full-time job. You may be a carpenter, you may be a welder, you may be a plumber, you may be a sailor, you may be a housewife, you may be a school teacher, but your job is to represent Jesus Christ. And here Jesus is in this crowded, crammed, full house preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God to them. And four men arrive, carrying, bearing, taking them on themselves. This is the idea of lifting up a weight and carrying it. A paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Now, stop and think about it. Sometimes we read through the scriptures just too quickly. Stop and think about that. What if right in the middle of my sermon, all of a sudden, someone began chopping a hole in the ceiling? And that wouldn't be, it still would be bad. They'd have to saw through the tongue and groove, and it would make sawdust fall and float down on you, and there'd be splinters coming down, and you'd be like, what is going on? on here? And that's exactly, first of all, they had to get on the roof. Now, in this era, a lot of times they would have a roof access, an outside stairwell, or stairway, rather, that would go up to the top of a flat roof. And sometimes during the hot weather, they would sleep up there and eat up there and different things. So maybe they had a staircase, but have you ever tried to carry a stretcher up a staircase? Yeah, not easy, not easy. Very, very tricky time. So first of all, they had to get on the roof. That required time and effort. And how do you think the crowd below was reacting to the fact they were tearing a hole in the roof? You think they're, oh, goody, yes, they're tearing up the roof. That's wonderful. How do you think it went over with the owner of the house? Hey, man, that was a 30-year guarantee. You just poked a hole in it. So note the effort that accompanied their faith. For whatever reason, they had enough faith to say, we're going to make a hole in the roof if we have to and get our friend down at the feet of Jesus. And so that was their faith and their works coupled together. And then they lowered the man on the mat, the Bible says, down in front of Jesus. Now, I'm thinking, too, how's this going over with the guy who's on the mat? Well, I didn't know I was going to be on center stage, for crying out loud. I didn't know I was going to be right out in front, and everybody's kind of ticked below that we're causing dirt. You know, their roofs were not like ours. It's probably straw and sod and who knows what all. And they put it together that way, and now this debris is falling all over, and you're going to put him down, and people are going to say, you're the guy, huh? So maybe he wasn't too crazy about it. But seeing their faith, Jesus said, talking of Jesus, the way people see our faith, by the way, is by our works. Works do not save us. We know that. But people see your faith by your works. James made that very, very clear. So seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, and here, this is amazing too, he sees the potentiality of faith. He doesn't see the reality of the disease. He's not looking at the reality of the disease. He's looking at the potentiality of the faith, Gary. And so he says, my child, your sins are forgiven. What? That's not why we brought him here. What are you talking about? His sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. And the word to indicate this blasphemy here meant it was the very worst type of slander and was against God himself. The fact that this man who's teaching to this crowd of people says your sins are forgiven you, somehow indicating he has authority and power to forgive sin, that's blasphemy. That's the absolute worst kind of blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew fully and immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them. You can't hide from God. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're going to be thinking later on. He knows what you thought about this morning. He knows what you thought about last night. He knows what occupies our cranium at any given time. And Jesus, knowing what they thought, said, why do you question this in your hearts? I got a question for you, he's saying. Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? Is it easier for me to forgive his sins, which you don't, can't necessarily see that that's going on, that forgiveness happens, or is it easier to say, be healed? That's what he's asking him. Which do you think is harder to do? So I will prove to you, verse 10, I will prove to you, doubters, that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Chuck, I guess I am talking about forgiveness, huh? Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't realize. And then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, listen to this, stand up, means arise, pick up your mat, a pallet or a stretcher, and go home. The Bible says, the man in the NLT says, the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. Remember, the place is still packed. And he's having to weave his way through this mass of people, and he walked right on out. And they were amazed, and they praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Notice this. And I thought about this from a physical standpoint. If a person had been paralyzed for a long time, their muscles naturally atrophy. They waste away. A person who is not afflicted with a paralytic problem, but just for whatever reason is not able to be on their feet for a while, they don't just jump up, grab up something, and walk away. They have to go through physical therapy to regain the strength so they have balance, so they can do what needs to be done, bear the weight of whatever it is they're carrying, and so on. But he didn't have to worry about that because he was immediately, completely healed, and he was forgiven. So there's several lessons to be learned here, and a few of them are miracles do still happen. Whoever tells you that there are no miracles to take place doesn't believe in the Word of God. At least they don't believe in the Word of God the way that I think the Word of God teaches. Miracles still happen. You can cut yourself and go down here to the hospital and they can stitch it together. They did not heal your hand. They stopped the bleeding. They stitched the flesh together, the muscle maybe and skin. They stitched it together. But it still requires something else to take place for healing to occur so that that hand, that skin and flesh go back together again. No one can do, no human being can do that. That to me is miraculous. There are all kinds of things. I mean, God is a God who's a miracle worker God, and miracles still happen. Secondly, Jesus had the authority to forgive sin. When they said, when the murmurers and doubters said, only God can forgive sin, they were exactly right. Hey, don't come to me confessing your sins, wanting me to forgive you. I told somebody this morning, I said, hey, you got any sins to confess? I got them 3 for a quarter this morning if you want to make 3 confessions. And I was just joking, and I wasn't trying to be mean to anybody. That's just me. Pat says, people don't always know how to take me. But anyhow, Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus has the authority to do that because why? Because he is God. Thirdly, Jesus has power over his creation. He has power over what we call natural creation? No, it's not natural. You know, we have been so subtly influenced philosophically. Natural creation. What about cavemen? You mean Lot? He was a caveman. What about dinosaurs? Yeah, they used to be alive. They still are. They're just reptiles don't get as big as they used to because reptiles grow every year. The longer they live, the bigger they grow. And so some of the reptiles didn't make it because they didn't get on the ark, and that's it. I mean, we are conditioned to think millions of years ago, we were watching something. It was a fascinating piece on the continent of Australia the other night, the seven somethings in one planet, yeah. Seven worlds, one planet. It's fascinating. It starts out with 200 million years ago. This happened and that happened. How do you know that? How about 6,000 some years ago, God created the heavens and the earth? How about that? Question evolution, folks, because evolution is the place where a lot of our kids get off the Christian track because they've been taught it in the school system for all their lives, and they think mom and dad don't know what they're talking about when they believe in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. But the scientists know what's really going on, so they must be right. Well, got off. Jesus has power over creation. Believers, fourthly, have a responsibility to help others come to know Jesus. You and I have a responsibility, God-given responsibility, to help our friends, family, neighbors, co-workers, know more about Jesus Christ. So let's look at the ingredients quickly in this text that lead to the miracle. First of all, there were 4 burdened men, verses 1 through 3. 4 burdened men. What do I mean by that? I mean they were passionate about getting their friend to Christ. They said, we love this guy. We've known this guy for a long time. I don't know, maybe they've known him all their lives. And he has been paralyzed for however long. We don't know how long. But, man, we heard that there's someone named Jesus who he's healing people by the dozens and hundreds. And people come to him, and they get healed from their deafness, from their blindness, from their lameness, from whatever ails them. Their demons are cast out. This is an amazing individual. And you know what? Maybe he could do something for our friend. So they got burdened. We don't know their names. It didn't say like Tom, Joe, Harry, and Fred. Didn't say that. We don't know their ages. We don't know their positions in life. We don't know their their professions. We don't even know if they were righteous in the Old Testament standard of being righteous as Jews. It would seem that at least one or two of them had some kind of faith. Maybe all four of them had some kind of faith that would compel them to carry a friend on a stretcher, to get up on the roof, to dig a hole in the roof. There had to be some kind of motivation there. They were burdened. They cared for their friend. They were trying to do something that required effort and faith. And when we talk about ministry, it requires effort and faith. I'm not saying, look, it takes that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So are you willing to expend effort? Are you willing to expend faith? Because you love people and you want to help people and you want them to know the Christ that you know. They cared about him. We're willing to do something that would require effort and faith. So do we care about those around us? I mean, do we really care? Because we say we do. Of course I care. Yeah, oh yeah, I wish all my family were saved. I wish all my friends were saved. I wish all my neighbors were saved. But do we really care? What are we willing to do? Do we really, can I ask you this question? Do we really believe in hell today? There is a very popular pastor, preacher, who has decided there is no real literal burning hell. Maybe you've heard of him. I think it's Rod Bell. Maybe you've heard of him. And he's propagating a different gospel. All of a sudden, hell's been air-conditioned, you know, because a loving God would never send anyone to a place of eternal torment, you know that? Well, the Bible never says God sends them there. The Bible says that they send themselves there by their own lack of belief and their rejection of Christ. They don't want to be with Christ, so therefore God does not compel them to be with Christ for eternity. Do we really believe in heaven and hell? If we really believe in that, that means everybody who dies. I read on the internet, you know, every once in a while, you get so-and-so died, some famous actress, so-and-so died, some famous actress. And I always think to myself, man, I hope they were born again. Because if they're not, oh my goodness. Do we care where others are going to be for eternity? Do we want others to have the hope that we have? And whose job is it anyway to tell people about the Lord? Well, pastor, that's why we hired you. I'm not some kind of a spiritual gunslinger. I'm not your hitman for the Holy Spirit. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. All of us have a responsibility to witness to people, to tell them about Christ, to answer the question. It's not just the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad, why? Because of persecution. When the church began to be persecuted, the Christians scattered out because they were literally being put to death. They were being rounded up, imprisoned, put to death. So they scattered out, and everywhere they went, being quiet about the gospel. That's not what it says. Everywhere they went, they went preaching the word of God. They're fleeing persecution. They didn't stop preaching the word of God. They kept on preaching the word of God. Our goal here is every member a minister. Every one of you who are members of this church, you new members, you are now Reverend so-and-so. Because you're to be a minister, have a ministry. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles, he made some prophets, he made some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work, the completing of the saints, for the work of ministry, which is serving others, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body. For how long? Till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son, unto a complete or perfect person, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There were four burdened men who had a job to do and did it diligently and got it done, and they got A pluses because of their effort and their faith. Secondly, there's a broken roof. Taking their friend, we've already mentioned, taking their friend to Jesus was not convenient. Wasn't easy. I don't know how far they traveled. Maybe it wasn't that far. Maybe it was a few blocks. So you can carry someone for a few blocks. No big deal. Go up on the roof. A little tougher, right? Yeah. Chop a hole in the roof. Lower him down. Not always convenient to do what God calls us to do. Not always convenient to be at the church an hour, hour and a half early to do practice for praise team. You think the praise team members wouldn't rather just sit back and have another cup of coffee, or if they're Christian, coffee? Yeah. If they're Baptist, another cup of coffee? You think they wouldn't rather just kind of lounge around a little bit and come in a little bit later? But they're here. Every Sunday morning, they're here. Not convenient, but they do it. It's not always convenient to get up, be here early for a VIP greeting. Right, Dan? Got to be here early. Got to stand out there. It's cold. Oh, it's so cold. I'm from California. This is so cold. This is summertime to where my sister lives. This is like, golly, wear shorts and cutoffs or whatever. I mean, early. It's not always convenient prepping for Sunday school. These teachers that are working in here right now, the workers that are in there, it's not always easy. Chasing little kids. Wiping their noses. Not always convenient. Not always convenient to meet periodically to take care of church business as a leadership team member. Not always convenient. These guys up here and the ladies in the sound booth who come have to be here before you guys to practice and then to run the program. And if something goes haywire, to have the preacher yell at them and scream at them. It's always not always convenient. I don't do that. Not out loud. Neither is spending time cleaning the facilities or repairing things that need to be repaired. That's not always convenient. Neither is changing your baby's diapers. Not convenient, but it needs to be done. Seldom is it convenient, but it's necessary. So the four men overcame the obstacles to the journey. The journey to the house, the crowd not letting them pass through easily, the roof that took time, they picking up the stretcher, looking up, they found the solution. Let's go up on the roof. You very seldom find a solution looking down. Did you know that? You look up to the Lord. You'll find your answers. And so they were willing to pay a price. Because will you agree with me on this? The Bible doesn't say Jesus healed the roof. So when they got through hauling their buddy back up, well, no, he got up and walked out, so they didn't have to worry. They probably beat it because they knew the owner was going to be looking for them. There was still a hole in the roof when they got through that had to be fixed. And my guess is these four guys said, we will gladly repair the roof. Ministering cost them something. But they figured out their friend was worth it. You got to figure out, are your friends worth it? Is your family worth the effort? Well, preacher, I don't want to offend anybody. Okay, look, I understand that. So be careful how you present the gospel. The gospel itself is offensive. The gospel itself is offensive. Some people don't like to be told they're sinners. You don't have to be offensive in how you do it. Be tactful. But give them the gospel. It's important. They're worth investing your time and effort. Are your family worth it? Are your friends worth it? How about visitors who come to First Baptist Church? Well, I don't know them, preacher. You know what? Somebody knows them. They are important to somebody. They ought to be important to us as members of the family of God. And they may be looking for something of eternal value. That's why I don't want to waste their time. That's why I want to give the gospel every time we meet, because you know what? There may be someone out here right now who knows that they're not saved, that knows if they died today, they'd be in hell tonight, or if there is a hell, that they would be in hell tonight. And I want you to know that anything I can do to help you come to Christ, I will do it. Then you see, last of all, an empty stretcher. I said earlier, I don't know how many of these four had absolute faith before this. I don't know. But I have to believe there were five people who walked away with faith. The four stretcher bearers, And the guy who had been paralyzed for however long, who was able to walk through the crowd. Now, I want to say this too. The physical healing was amazing, but it was not the most important healing that took place. The spiritual healing was even better. When I was in high school, I decided at some point I'd like to be a doctor. And so after high school, I started enrolling and I went to college with biological science majors, trying to prep for curriculum later on, pre-med curriculum later on. In my sophomore year, God called me to preach. And I changed tracks, changed directions. Now, I got to thinking, if I was a doctor, and I may not be right here, but how long do you spend, Doc, with an average patient? How long is an average office visit?
15 minutes.
Okay, I was thinking 20, so 15 minutes, so that you can see four people in an hour if you really stack them up, but things don't always work that way. Sometimes it's long. So three or four people an hour if you work an eight-hour day. Probably you work more than that, but if you're talking 24 people. So you know what? I got to thinking a few years ago, for 40 years, I was able to minister to over 1,000 people every week. If you take 20-some people a day and add it up for the whole week, you're going to have about 100 people. So God gave me the privilege of ministering to over 1,000 people for a long, long time. Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Forgiveness has priority over all other needs according to Jesus and according to the Heavenly Father. And don't you love the scribe's reaction? Well, who does he think he is? The teachers of the religious law. Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sin. So God, through Jesus Christ, validates his authority and his ability to forgive sin by healing the man of his physical malady. Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And so this man was made whole spiritually for eternity and physically for a time after that. I don't know how long. Are you one of those who have brought your friends or family to Christ? Are you one of those who has ministered? Are you one of those who has been involved in Bible studies, in teaching in Sunday school class, in working around the church? Are you one who brought and make effort to bring people to Christ? There was rejoicing. The afflicted man rejoiced, no doubt. His four friends rejoiced, no doubt. His family and friends, when they heard what happened, rejoiced. And heaven rejoices, because anytime someone comes to the Lord, the Bible says they're rejoicing in heaven. So what if these four men had not taken this burden upon themselves? What would have happened if there weren't four people who took an interest? I will guarantee you there were thousands, tens of thousands of other people who had need of forgiveness who did not get brought to Jesus Christ on that day and to that house. So God is waiting for you and for me to step up, to be involved in being a stretcher bearer. And that's what this whole message is about. Would you do me a favor? Would you take this card out of your bulletin? This is the invitation today, okay? This is the main invitation. So everybody needs to grab one of these. Okay, we have extras. Fitz, help us out here. Pat has some extras. Some of the bulletins didn't have them. If you do not have one of these cards, I want you to have one of these cards. So keep your hands up just a moment as Fitz comes around, and he'll make sure that everybody gets one of these cards. Okay, Allie, right over here. Okay, let's see. One of you guys grab some of those and go up one side. One of you military guys. Yeah? You know, military people are really reluctant to volunteer. I've noticed that. So you go down that side. Fitz, go down this side. Just raise your hand if you did not get one. Right over here, there's a whole row right here. Okay, good, 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 good. We'll take just a moment to do this, because this is our Managing Life 2020 commitment card. The last one for this year that we'll be talking about. This is for the whole year. And I want everyone to have one of these. Everybody got one now? Everybody have one? Okay. Anybody else need one? Don't want to leave you out. All right. Let's read it together. It says here, I or we want to be good managers of every aspect of our lives for 2020, realizing that desire alone is not enough. I therefore want to commit to the following for this year. Now, let me just say this. Making a commitment to the Lord is a serious thing. Making a vow to God is a serious thing. And I'm asking you to make a vow. I'm not asking you to just half in, half out, you know, maybe I'll do it if it's convenient. If you're not going to do the things that you're going to indicate here, then just don't check those boxes. That's all, okay? But I'm going to encourage you to read God's word daily. It is the word of God that keeps us from sin. It is the word of God that continually affirms to me. I'm telling you, now I may be goofy about some of my interpretations, but sometimes when I read the scriptures and I say, you know, that's God answering this prayer I was praying about. It's God giving me direction about what I need to do. It's His talking. I don't hear God's audible voice. If you do, I'll pray for you. But I don't hear God's audible voice. I hear His written word. So first thing here, I will commit reading God's word daily. I'm not saying read 1 hour every day. That'd be great if you would. I'm just saying read every day. One of the best things in the world. Youversion.com, Youversion.com. Hundreds of different reading programs right there on your phone, on your iPad, on your computer. I love it. Before computers came out, I used the 1 year Bible, which would give you an Old Testament reading, New Testament reading, Psalms reading, and Proverbs reading every single day. Will you read the Word of God daily? Secondly, will you pray daily? I'm not saying pray a half hour. I'm not saying pray 45 minutes. I'm saying will you pray daily? Will you attend church on Sundays? Hebrews 10:25. I'm going to tell you something. I am so grateful and thankful for the fact that on January the 9th, 1966, I was in God's house because that's when God called me to preach. What if I had not been there? Now, I understand sometimes there are vacations. I understand some of you have to work and you have duty and different things. And I'm not saying, you know, go AWOL or UA so you can be in church. Understand. If you're in a hospital room and you've got tuberculosis, stay there. Don't come to church and cough all over me, okay? So, I'm just saying, if you're healthy and everything's fine, you wake up in the morning and you're able to, you come to God's house. Next, I want to commit my talents to ministry. Right now, children's ministry, we are in dire need of some people who will volunteer once a month, twice a month, either one, who will say, I will go in there. You don't even have to be the main teacher. You can be a helper. But we desperately need people, men and women. You know, I like having guys in there, too, to influence the boys. I think that's a healthy thing to have guys in there. So would you, if you would dedicate once a month, a Sunday morning, then go ahead and check that. If you're interested and want to help out with the sound computer booth, and you would do that once a month, check that. Praise team, same way. You'd have to audition through Shara, and she's tough. So, but that's her job, and so you talk to her. But check that box if that's your concern. Maintenance help, we'd love to have. Right now, Bobby does maintenance around here part time, and then we have another group that was coming in and didn't work out. So we could use help on a weekly basis, just cleaning up, fixing up. When people walk in here, I don't want them to see, oh man, there's cobwebs in the corner. Or the restroom's dirty, or the nursery's dirty. I don't want that. By the way, our nursery workers take care of the nursery. They do an incredible job of keeping that clean and sanitized. But if you would help out with that, if you would help out with the VIP ministry, greeting out there, we have sometimes people have to do it more than once a month because we don't have enough people. The only requirement for this is you have to be a friendly person. I don't want any grouchy people on the VIP greeting ministry, okay? No grouchy. You got to practice smiling and make sure you can do that real well for, you know, about a half hour or so while you're out there. So, but if you're interested, and we'll help out. That would help out Dan and his scheduling quite a bit. So check that box. Last of all, I want to commit my treasure. So we're talking about time, talents, and treasure. I will begin giving offerings systematically. If you've never given offerings to the Lord, you need to start doing that. That's a beginning place. If you really want to be bold and walk out by faith, I will begin tithing. We talked about tithing first Sunday of this month, and that's giving 10% of your income. I will guarantee, I'm not going to preach another message on tithing because I promised some guy who visited the first Sunday I preached on it I wouldn't preach on it again for a year, so I won't do that. But I always love it when God sends a first-time guest and I'm preaching on tithing. It's always fun. I will begin giving offerings above the 10% because the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. And thirdly, I will begin giving to missions above my tithe. Those are your time, your talent, your treasure, ministry, getting involved, being real, not just playing Christianity, practicing Christianity, bringing people to Christ. We intend to fulfill this commitment unless providentially hindered. Now, what does that mean? If you are dead, you are providentially hindered. In some cases, obviously, if you're in a hospital or unable to be at church, I understand that. Okay, providentially hindered, something comes up that you didn't know, that you didn't plan on, that just doesn't make it possible for you to do what you plan to do. So I want us to pray, and then here's what I want us to do. I want us to fill this out, put your name, print it, print your email, print your phone number, and then for the invitation, I'm going to ask that you come up here and just put these right here, filled out. I'm going to fill out one in just a minute myself. Put them right here, and that will be our invitation. Now, if you're here and you want to receive Christ as your Savior, you come see me, or you come and see Fitz, or you come and see David. David, raise your hand so people back there know who you are. Fitz, raise your hand. Okay, so you come see these people. Guys, ladies, Rachel's right over here. Karen's right down here. My wife's right over here. Shira's here. So if you want to be saved, if you want to join the church, if you want to be baptized, you let them know that. If you have a need today, they can pray with you about it. But we're going to pray right now as we fill out this commitment card for the year. You're not saying, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. You're saying, with God's help, I'm going to do this for the coming year. Our Father in heaven, Lord, you know the needs of this church better than I do.
You know the hearts of the people.
And so, Father, I pray that you would bless mightily. I pray, Lord, that you would move upon us and give us a burden to reach young people, little children, boys and girls, older boys and girls, teenagers for Christ. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be willing to do what you've gifted us to do, employing our time, our talents, and our treasures in the service of the King. Lord, give us a love and a concern for our friends, our family, that we would preach the gospel to them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please fill them out. When you get them filled out, I'm going to ask you to come, put them right up here. And that will be the invitation for today.
Yeah.
fact, you didn't have enough opportunity, or you need to talk with your wife or your husband about something, you can turn those cards in anytime next Sunday or during the week or whenever you'd like to as well. And thank you all for being part, for being the body of Christ at First Baptist Church. A couple of announcements that we need to make, and then we're going to have a couple of reports and we'll be going home. I want to share with you that the Financial Freedom University class, the date has been moved to April 2nd. Date has been moved. The reason, part of the reason being, I was going to preach on being debt-free last week, and I preached on sanctity of life instead because God just moved me to do that. And so we'll be preaching on what the Bible says about being debt-free on March the 29th, and then the Financial Freedom University will be April the 2nd. Now listen, if you know the prime people, obviously if you have debt, how to get debt-free, it could be a lifesaver to you. But some of the prime people are some of you young Navy people, young singles, young college career types who haven't accumulated a bunch of debt yet or are in the process of thinking about having a bunch of debt with student loans and such. And I'm going to encourage you specifically to commit eight or nine sessions to this idea of being debt-free the rest of your life. I will guarantee you it'll be worth it. If it's not, I'll find somebody to reimburse you for your money. Actually, you'll get it back. So that's the way that'll work. So April the 2nd is when the class begins. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. So in our Constitution, there's an annual meeting that's required. Don't fret. We're not going to be here 45 minutes. Nobody's going to get in a fist fight. It's not going to be one of those kind of business meetings. I'm going to ask that we have real short reports from, first of all, Laura, would you come from our Sunday school department? This lady does an amazing job of organizing, planning who's in our Sunday school classrooms for the kids. She desperately needs your help to volunteer once a month or so, if you would do that. So this is Laura Stecker, if you're wondering who it is. So would you welcome her, because she's really excited about giving an announcement right now.
Okay, so this isn't my forte. I could talk to the children all day long, but the adults scare me. So just a little bit about our program this year. I got to yell? Okay.
Just put the mic up to your mouth.
Okay, just a little bit about our program. The children's ministry has grown substantially this year. The boogie board class, which is our three-year-olds through our first graders, the little ones, are averaging 10 to 11 children every week.
Amen.
The longboard class, which is second to fifth grade, averages 13 to 14 every week.
Amen.
This year we've had three children transfer up into our longboard class from our boogie board class. And more to come. We've also formed our Windsurfer Junior High Ministry for grades 6 through 8, which is run by Julio and Jennifer Griffith. And I'm pleased to announce that today in our classes we have 34 wonderful children.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. All the children are doing great. They're thriving in their classrooms. The teachers, the assistants, and I are so blessed to have your children. They are wonderful. And I thank all you parents for bringing them to us. So with that, I just need to ask, if anybody is interested in helping out, call me, email me, anything. Even if it's just for 10 minutes, I'll be happy to have the help. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask Julie to come and give the clerk report. And Dan, would you come be ready to give a brief report on the trustee meeting for the last year? The leadership team accomplishments over this last year.
Hi, I'm Julie. I'm secretary to Pastor Bays, and I'm the child care coordinator.
She's the brains and the activity behind the whole thing, I guarantee you.
In 2019, we held four new member classes, and 23 people became members. We had two baptism Sundays in 2019 with a total of 8 people baptized by immersion. Our average attendance for 2019 a week was 144. Woo-hoo. We had 4 fellowship potlucks in 2019 led by Julie and Ralph Ziegler, and each one had great turnouts.
Yeah.
I just want to mention the Halloween outreach event again that we had in 2019. We served 900 hot dogs, 1,000 bags of chips, 1,000 waters, and we gave out 248 Bibles. That's one of our biggest outreaches. So next October, we'll be starting to ask for help for that. And that's my report.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Julie. Dan's one of our leadership team members, and just give a little overview.
Well, I didn't know I was doing this.
Yeah, but I know.
Always happy to talk.
That's
so,
it.
We have had a great year here. I think what's really notable is that the attendance over the past year has really gone up a lot.
Yeah.
And that's great to see. And that's really, I think, the Lord kind of answering our prayers, trustees, to bring new people into this church. As you all know, we have a lot of people cycle through here, a lot of people in the military and the Navy. And as your trustees, we've been praying about that, and the Lord has delivered, and we couldn't be happier to have you all here. And we want to be a blessing to you guys. Financially, the church is doing awesome. Fitz, I don't know the exact number, but this year,
he'll give a report.
Oh, okay, you're giving a report on that. Okay. So I just want to give a real brief commercial. Pastor talked about the VIP ministry. I'm hoping that these cards right here, some of you have agreed to join that ministry. We call it VIP because every one of you here, every member or every guest, is a very important person to us, just like you're very important people to Christ and to the Lord. So that's how we view you. Pastor said all you need to be able to do is smile. Well, I've got a little bit higher standard than that. You also need to be able to say hello.
Yeah.
So, and if you could actually hand out a bulletin, that's big, big bonus points.
Plus,
so, you know, but it really is a great place to start in a ministry. You get to learn people's names here, get to know them, get to know the members. So I really want to encourage you all just once a month, or maybe if we get more people, once every 5 or 6 weeks, to dedicate your time to go there and greet. And then the other thing for you men around here, the first Saturday of every month, we have a men's ministry in here. I really, really want to encourage you guys to come. It's a time of real fellowship. It's a time where you can get to know the other men in the church. We eat really well. I don't ask anyone to do anything other than to just be here and just experience fellowship with the men. I think you guys will really be blessed by that. So I'm hoping, actually, this next Saturday, we're going to be at Panera Bread the first Saturday of the month, and actually get out into the community. And
wear your FBC shirts.
Yeah, wear your FBC shirts. Yeah. If you don't have one, we have one in back. Gary has very nicely done a whole bunch of FBC shirts for us. We want to get out in the community and show our love of Christ actually out there in our Coronado community. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, thank you so much, Dan. All right, now I'm going to ask Fitz to come and give us a report before we vote on the budget for 2020. Fitz is our treasurer.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Fitz, for those who don't know me. Before I talk about this subject of money once again, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to pray through God's word, and I tell you what Jim was talking about, getting in God's word, something I've kind of re-engaged this year is praying through Psalms. It's just, if you haven't done it, I highly encourage you. But I'd like us all together to pray. Pray with me here. I pray through, this is First Chronicles. This is David speaking to the assembly of Israel's leadership after they had given so much to the temple. And this, I think, is very apropos for what we're about ready to. So please bow with me as I pray. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
It says just earlier there, too, then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for the whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. So having been here, a member of this church for, I think, 8 years now, I've seen it grow, and I've served as treasurer in years past. To give you an idea, for the first few years I was here, the church averaged having about $45,000 in the bank. And we had about a $120,000 budget, and that's where we stood. Here's the budget that we ratified last year. The total of that budget was $355,579. Let me tell you about our income for 2019. $395,202.38. And give God the glory. That's pretty amazing. And I tell you, I'm just encouraged by the faithfulness that demonstrates of our other folks that are attending here, and even those who have gone away and continue. It's amazing. So we had that was our total income. Our expenses were $333,352.84. So we took in more than we spent by quite a bit. Our cash,
unlike our government.
Yeah. The for those of you who don't know, I worked on Capitol Hill, but that's another thing. I don't work there anymore. It seems even more broken. 380. So our cash assets. So one of the things that we did, and a leadership team highlight, and I give credit to the leadership team that came up with Nick in particular, Nick Ives, one of our. We are just not used to dealing with these kind of numbers, and one of the things that Nick had suggested, and it was great wisdom, is hey, maybe we should invest. Not when I say invest, put some of our money in interest-bearing accounts. So we have done that. We're not playing the market. We're not doing anything like that. All of our everything is done. So we've invested in $250,000 into a CD. Yep, and we have a interest-bearing savings account of which we've put $40,000 into that. That plus our regular operating checking account. As of the end of the year, our total cash assets were $384,791.60. Okay, to whom much has been given, much is required. So what are we doing that? What are we doing with our budget this year? I told you that last year we approved a budget of $355,000. This year, we are asking to the congregation to approve a budget of $343,000at $454.00. So we said, wait, it went down. Well, part of the reasons, and if you all took some, and if you need something, we'll have those to review. We'll have these papers in the back. Please take it. They've been there for a couple weeks. Last year, there was a clerical error. We budgeted $11,000 in an admin account. That wasn't supposed to be $11,000. It was supposed to be $1,100. So we all approved that. We all worked within it, and it was only about 2 months ago I said, whoa, wait, that was a typo. So when I said we budget $355,579 last year, we really should have only been budgeting $345,000 because there was a typo there. I kept that typo there, though, but since we worked with it all year, I kept it there for the paperwork. So anyway, our budget this year of $343,000 is roughly about the same. But I do want to hit a couple highlights. We last year paid a lot of capital improvements here in our building, so we had budgeted $52,000 for capital improvements. We actually spent $41,000 of that capital improvement money. This year, we don't feel the need that we'd have to have that much budgeted for that, so we're down almost $21,000 in the budget request for facilities. But something that I think is very, very important, last year we spent $54,000 on missions. So this is obviously everything that we do in this to have this church, to pay our pastor, to pay our staff, that's to build up the church, to do God's work, to go out and do the things that we need to do. So there is a purpose in that. It's not just traditional overhead. There's a purpose. But spending our money, giving our money to those who are in need, those who are spreading the gospel, those who are doing that outside of our church, we do a fantastic job as a small church. And this year we're going to do even better. This year, we're committing $71,750 towards missions. That's about 20% of our budget, and I think that's fantastic. We give to some amazing missionaries, local missionaries here in the congregation, those who are around the world, those who are training people to go to people who have never heard the gospel. It's never been heard. There are still millions of people on this planet who've never heard the gospel. And that kind of mission trip's not a one-weeker. It's measured in years, 10, 15 years. And we support a ministry right across the border That's where they have their campus radius. They do tremendous work. So we're supporting some amazing ministries that go out throughout the world. So that said, yes, yes, Carolyn, please. Okay, I will. I'm gonna pass that along to them, and I think that's a. I think that they very much desire to do that. Yes, Brian is. He's right here. He could stand up and talk. But he's okay. All right, Brian. I know we already have it. You'll hear more from Ryan and Nate. Nate is for those who don't know Nate's. I'm sorry. Yes, we did. Yes, yes. No, he is. He's another Ryan. He's another navigator working full time. Now, for those who don't know, Navigators is a ministry that works directly targeted towards the military. And as we look around here, how many here are familiar or connected with Navigators in some way? Okay, there's a little fruit for that ministry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carolyn Morehouse, one of the founders of this church.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Nate and Ryan are fantastic people, but you should. Nate is actually getting ready. He's also a reservist, so he's going to be deployed here. But he'll be doing his ministry out in the Middle East and then coming back and establishing.
And coincidentally, Carolyn, we just talked last week to Ryan about doing this very thing on an ongoing basis, like every quarter or something like that. So we just talked about that. It's a great idea.
Yep. But I would tell you, as you look around and see those hands that are being raised, that's Ryan and the Navigators, and we appreciate what that's doing. And I would encourage you all, keep going. It's a fantastic ministry. So with that said, I am just the treasurer. I'll leave it up to the leadership team to
We would like to go ahead. We announced 2 weeks ago we were going to take a vote on the proposed budget today. So we would like to have a motion from the floor and a second. And Julie, are you here to record this? Julie, are you here to record this? Pat, would you record this, please? Someone make a motion. Gary so moves.
Second.
Who seconded? Dan? Dan seconds. Any questions about the motion approving the budget for 2020? All those in favor say amen.
Amen.
Opposed by Omi? No Omis. All right. Thank you so much.
And just one last thing I will say. If we are all about, those of you who know me well, after preaching the word wise stewardship, it's just right there. It is near and dear to my heart. Our finances are audited monthly and run by a company out here in town, Westax. And then I audit their work, they kind of audit mine, and we come together. And this is published all the time. My financial report is available. You can at any point during the year ask me about something or ask Julie for a copy, and we'll be happy to give you all the data that will just turn your eyes, you know, bloodshot. So,
all right. Thank you so much, Fitz. So give him a hand. Great job. Appreciate that. Saturday, men's breakfast, Panera, 8 a.m. Wear your FBC shirts if you have one of those. Next Sunday, I'm going to be starting a prophecy series. The title is Going Up. Things I know that are going to happen. One of them is I know one of these days is going to be a trumpet sound, and those who are in Christ are going to take off from this planet and be out of here. So that'll be starting next week. And then February 3rd, Ronald McDonald. You got sign-ups for that? Do you need it? It's on the back table? It's going around. Okay, so go ahead and take care of signing that up. I would like to close by bringing our leadership team up here so you'll know who they are. If you have any questions ever, you can feel free to ask them. You can feel free to ask me. You can feel free to ask Julie, and we'll get the answers for you if we don't know them. But this is our leadership team right now. Appreciate Rachel and John and Tom and Dan and Nick. And these are some of the finest people in the world to work with. I want you to know, when we have our meetings with leadership team, there is a sweet, sweet spirit, and one of unity, and one of love for the Lord, and love for each other. And I just appreciate working with them so very, very much. Now, let's all stand together, and I'm going to have a prayer of commission. And I want you to come and just lay hands on these men and ladies, and just let them know that we're there for them, and we're glad for their responsibility in leading us. So come ahead and gather around them as we pray this commissioning service for our leadership for 2020. Our Father in heaven, we want to express our gratefulness to you for giving us this great church. Lord, we love the people that you've called us to gather with, and we love this place. And Lord, we love the fact that you're here and that you show up. God, we pray that you would bless all of those who have made commitments for the year and these commitment cards, or those who are still planning to. Lord, I thank you for this leadership team, and I know that the things rise and fall on leadership. And so, Father, you are the head of this church. There's no doubt about that. You are the owner. It is your church. We are your servants. And so, Father, I thank you for these co-servants, these co-ministers who are up here. God, I pray that you would give them blessings spiritually, first and foremost, as we talked about today. But I pray beyond that, you'd give them physical blessings and financial and emotional and every way, that God, you would be with them and with us all, and help us to be the kind of servant leaders in this church that we need to be. Father, we thank you for this congregation. Thank you for their willingness to work and to serve and to participate in the ministry. God, we pray that the year 2020 would be a tremendous year for the glory of God in Coronado. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being at this long service today. It ought to last all week.